Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Verses 20 to 37. And this is actually not a topic that I'm usually comfortable talking about. I spent some time in a certain demographic of American Christianity that was very focused on the end times. And they saw everything through the lens of Revelation. And they were obsessed with those books, the Left Behind series. I don't know if you've ever seen those or read those or watched the Kirk Cameron movies. But in the mid-90s into the early 2000s, there was a series of novels about the end times, the Left Behind series. And it was very popular in American Christianity. And it painted a picture of the end times, that one day Jesus is going to come back kind of secretly and pop. All Christians are going to vanish. And everyone else is kind of wondering what in the world is going on. And it follows some people that kind of come to believe in Christ after the rest of the believers have been raptured. And it's it was a big bestseller series of novels. And as I spent time with these people who, kind of made everything about the end times, I was very put off. And so I kind of went the other extreme, and I hardly talk about the end times at all. But we've come to a passage where Jesus talks about it, so we got to talk about it. That's one of the good things of kind of going verse by verse. You got to talk about everything. And if Jesus talks about it, then I got to talk about it. So let's look in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Let's see what Jesus has to say about the end times. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." So now Jesus, it's a story of the Pharisees. They've come to Jesus and they're asking him, "When is the kingdom going to come?" This is their end times question. When's the end times going to come? And so the Jewish end times looks very different from Left Behind. But the Jewish end times was they were looking forward to the day of the Lord. And if you read through all the Old Testament prophets, they always talk about the day of the Lord. And that's the day they're looking forward to. And the day of the Lord is when God's going to come and he's going to set everything right. So God's people are going to be justified, they're going to be rescued, and God's enemies are going to be punished and judged. And so that's the day they're looking forward to. And the Pharisees are asking Jesus, when is that day going to come? That day of the Lord, when God's people will be justified and God's enemies will be punished. Jesus, when is that day going to come? And Jesus' answer is, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. And this is kind of counter into what a lot of people want to look in the Bible for. They want to like pick apart Daniel and pick apart Revelation and see, here's a date that the end time is going to happen. And you add up the numbers and you turn everything into like numbers and it all works out and you can point a picture, pick up a date on the calendar and say, this is going to be the day. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God doesn't happen that way. It's not going to come with your careful observation, right? They're looking for signs. They're looking for something that's going to point to the fact that the kingdom of God is going to come. That day of the Lord they're waiting for is finally going to happen. And nor will people say, here it is or there it is, right? That's pointing to signs like, this has happened. You know, they're looking at the political climate. They're looking at what's happened militarily. They're trying to match it with prophecy. Oh, look, this has happened. Oh, so therefore, the day of the Lord must be soon. But Jesus says, don't listen to them, because the kingdom of God is within you. Now, this can cause a lot of misinterpretation and misunderstanding, because it sounds very, you know, I don't know, zen. Like, don't look for the kingdom of God. Don't look for the day of the Lord to come, because it's inside of you. But look at who Jesus is talking to. He's not talking to his disciples. He's talking to the Pharisees. And at no point in time was Jesus going to say, the kingdom of God is inside of you, Pharisees. In fact, that's not how Jesus talks about the kingdom of God at all. Jesus always talks about people must go into the kingdom, not the kingdom goes into people. So this is not what Jesus means, that, you know, somehow metaphysically the kingdom of God has come inside of you. If you have a little footnote in your Bibles, in mine it says, or among you. So the Greek word could mean, you know, inside of you or among you, in your midst. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is not inside of you, because that's not what Jesus ever said anywhere else, but the kingdom of God is among you. What is he talking about? He's talking about himself. He's saying, don't look for signs. Don't look for, you know, things that point to that day of the Lord. It's already here. Jesus was in their midst. The kingdom was already coming. And they didn't know. When Jesus was baptized after his temptation, the first thing he did was went out and he said, repent, for the kingdom is God is at hand. It's here. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's something that's here. And it's here because of Jesus. All right, so that day that the Pharisees and the Jews were looking forward to, it's already happened. Jesus is here. So that's the first part of this teaching on, you know, end times, quote unquote. But the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God like? First of all, it's a present kingdom. We are living in the kingdom. If you have believed in Jesus, if Jesus has died for your sins, he has inaugurated the kingdom on the cross. He's defeated the power of Satan, of sin, and of death. And he's inaugurated the kingdom of God on this earth. And so if you have believed in Jesus, you're in the kingdom already. Verse 22, he turns to his disciples. And this is where it gets a little bit more interesting, because he's going to talk about something, I guess, a bit more interesting. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Now, it's strange. He just told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is among you. It's Jesus. He's here. The kingdom of God, that awaited day of the Lord, it's already here. And now he's turned to his disciples and said, there's going to be a time when you're going to long to see Jesus. And you're not going to. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that the kingdom, which is already inaugurated with Jesus, is not fully here. And we know this now because Jesus is not with us. Jeff talked about, you know, longing for you know, that presence of the Lord, and we just talked about that, we're just saying that glorious day when we're looking forward to Jesus coming back. So even though we're in the kingdom is here right now, there's part of it that is still yet to come. Just before Jesus left the disciples, recorded in the Gospel of John, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that you may be where I am. But it's not yet. We're not with Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. He said he's interceding on our behalf before the Father. And he's going to come back. But yet there's this time that we're living in right now where the kingdom is already here. It's present, but not yet fully here. And so he says to his disciples, the time is coming when you're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You're going to long for that future coming where Jesus is going to return and the kingdom will be fully here. And he says, but you will not see it. Either it means that it's going to come like kind of secretly and they're not going to be able to like visibly see it. But I think what Jesus is talking about here is they're not going to be around. They're going to be dead. This is going to be something that's going to happen in the future. And like part of me grates because I hardly ever talk about things that happen in the future, because so much of prophecy points to Jesus that has already come. But here Jesus says, there's just going to be something that's going to happen after you, the apostles, die. You aren't going to be around to see this coming, this fullness of the kingdom when Jesus will return. What is it going to be like, though? Verse 23. Men will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. What's Jesus' return going to be like? What is this day in our future going to look like? He said, well, some people are going to be like, well, here it is. Oh, it's going to be on this day. It's coming. Maybe it's already here. In fact, one of the cults that we were wrestling with last year in our Chinese congregation felt that Jesus had already come back. And they were spreading this teaching that Jesus had already come back in the form of some other person in China. But Jesus says, don't look for them. If someone says, here he is, there he is, don't listen to them. Why? Because that coming day is going to be like a flash of lightning. Now, back then, they didn't have electricity. It wasn't all bright in the middle of the night. It was dark. It was pitch dark. And so when the lightning came, everything suddenly gets illuminated. And everyone can see it. So Jesus is saying, that time when I come back, when the kingdom is totally fulfilled, is going to be like lightning. Going to be totally and completely obvious. You can't miss it. It's not going to be secret. It's not going to be, we're not going to be scratching our heads like, man, did I miss this? Like, I didn't get the invitation. I didn't see, my brother, maybe he's gone, like the Left Behind series. Maybe he vanished. She's like, it's not going to happen that way. It's going to be totally obvious when I come back. It's going to be like a flash of lightning. Bam! Everyone will see. Verse 25, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Now, even though Jesus is talking about the future, even our future, he keeps on bringing it back to the cross, to the inauguration of the kingdom. Why? Because that's the most important thing. And a lot of times we want to focus on, you know, what's going to happen in the future, and it's, you know, cool to think about what's it going to look like, what's going to happen, and we can get focused upon these things. But Jesus always brings back to the cross. The most important thing is the inauguration of the kingdom at the cross. I remember when my dad taught Sunday school when I was growing up, and he was going through the book of Daniel. And a lot of people like to look at the book of Daniel, and you'll see all the prophecies, and figure out what the end times is going to look like, and all that fun stuff. And my dad pointed out in the Sunday school class, and I still remember it to this day. He said, Why would Daniel be focusing on the second coming when the people Daniel's talking to haven't seen the first coming? That's the most important thing. Jesus Christ coming and dying for sin, defeating death, paying for our sins. That's the most important thing. That's what Jesus himself said. All the prophets, all the Old Testaments point to that. The fulfillment of the law in Christ. And so even though Jesus is talking about what's going to happen in the future when he comes back, he still reminds his disciples, remember the cross, because that's going to be the most important thing. That's going to ground you. That's more important. Verse 26, he goes on to describe what's going to happen. Just as it was in the times of Noah, so also will be in the days of Son of Man. How so? He's comparing the second coming to the days of Noah. Verse 27, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Now we'd like to imagine that, everyone during Noah's day is like wondering why in the world Noah's building a humongous ark. And wouldn't your curiosity be piqued? Like, he's building a big boat in the middle of nowhere. But yet Jesus says, up to the day the flood came, people just were like, Noah's crazy. Life goes on. And life went on. They just went around their normal day-to-day life until the flood came and washed them away. Verse 28, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. How is Jesus describing the end times? He's not describing it in some kind of cataclysmic, apocalyptic, fire from heaven kind of deal. His main focus is life was going on perfectly normal, and then suddenly, bam, judgment came. So how is Jesus' return going to be? It's going to be big and obvious like the lightning, but also like the lightning, it's going to be sudden. Right? You're not going to be able to expect it. Verse 30. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Right? We're going to be going around our lives as normal. There's not going to be any signs that something different is going to be happening. It's going to be an ordinary day. You're going to be just going to school, going to work. Maybe some of you will have kids then. It'll be an ordinary day like no other. You're going to think nothing is special about this day. And then bam, in the middle of it, Jesus is going to come. It's going to be obvious, and it's going to be sudden. Verse 31, he says, on that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. This is a picture that was often used for sudden warfare. That danger is coming, and it's too late to go back for things. Imagine your house is on fire. And there's stuff you want to save from your house. But the fire's too big, and you can't go in. It's too late. Jesus is saying, this is what the end times is going to be like. This is what the return of Jesus is going to look like. It's going to be obvious, it's going to be sudden, and it's going to be too late to do anything about it. Right? If you're on top of your house, too late to get anything else inside. If you're in the field, too late to go back and get anything. It's like that lightning. Have anyone tried to take a picture of lightning? Right? Once the lightning happens, it's too late to click the shutter. It's too late to press the button. It's already gone. This is what Jesus says the second coming is going to be like. It's going to be like a flash of lightning. Obvious and instantaneous. Sun. If you're going to get ready for it, when you're looking for the lightning, it's going to be too late. So he says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And you remember the story of Lot. Lot was in Sodom, and God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom for its wickedness. And so he lets the Lord's angels let Lot and his family escape. But as they're escaping, Lot's wife turns back and looks at the Sodom again, and she gets turned into a pillar of salt. So Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You're fleeing for your life. Don't turn back. There's no time to get stuff inside the house. There's no time to turn back. No time for any of that. He gives more illustration, verse 33. Verse 33, he gives a summary, a teaching. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. He's talking about, what are you going to do? How are you going to be prepared? You know the end is coming. How do you save your life? Or are you just going to try to live your own life? Are you going to try to preserve it? Verse 34, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken and the other left. It's not a picture of, you know, kind of rapture, like suddenly one will be there and one will not be. But it's a picture of what these two people look like. They're doing the exact same thing. They're in the exact same location. But when Jesus comes back, it's too late to get ready. And so one person will be gone. The only difference between these two people is one is already prepared. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be like a flash of lightning. It's going to be too late to prepare. And so one person is going to lose his life to preserve it. He's going to give up his life and put his trust in Jesus. He's going to enter the kingdom. And the other is going to wait. The other is going to be too late. When Jesus comes back, one's already ready to go, and one's not. But when Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late to figure out, oh, well, maybe I want to follow Jesus. It's all going to depend on what you've been doing before that time comes. So verse 37, disciples ask again, where, Lord? Where is this going to happen? Help us understand, we need to get ready. We want to go to that place maybe. Jesus replies, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. And what in the world does that mean? He's just saying it's going to be obvious. That I don't see too many vultures here in New York, but in Jersey there are a lot of vultures. Why? Because there are a lot of deer. And there are a lot of cars. And you know that combination of lots of deer and lots of cars mean lots of roadkill. And lots of roadkill means lots of vultures. And so you can kind of tell when we're driving through Jersey, you can tell kind of where there's a dead body. If you get closer, there's going to be a whole lot of birds. Or there's like birds circling overhead. You can see them as you're driving down the highway. There's like big circling birds. You're like, oh, well, they probably found something good. Jesus is saying, you don't need to look for our time. You don't need to look for a place. It's going to be obvious. Your focus shouldn't be there. He's kind of putting our fears to rest. Don't worry. You don't need to get ready in terms of, you got to find the right place. You got to know the right things. You got to, know the time so you can be prepared. Jesus says, that's not the important thing. I've told you enough. I told you all that you need to know. Right? It's going to be obvious, and it's going to be sudden. So what do we need to know? How do we need to be prepared? We need to be prepared ahead of time. Right? Just like if you're trying to take a picture of lightning, you don't wait for the lightning to come before you take the picture. You just have that camera set to just take pictures continuously in the middle of a lightning storm. And then when lightning comes, your camera's already ready. It's already taking tons of pictures, and you'll catch it. Jesus says the same thing is true with you. The kingdom's already here. Jesus has already died on the cross and made eternal life possible for you. Entry of the kingdom is already possible. It's here, right now. Don't wait. Don't wait for something to happen for you to say, oh, well, now I better get into the kingdom before it's too late. She said, no, get into the kingdom now. Don't wait. We sang the song, Come You Sinners, and one of the verses is, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. What heavy words. I know many of us wait to be baptized and make a decision for Christ because we feel we're not ready, or we're waiting for some special thing to happen in our lives. Or maybe we're waiting to, get all the fun out of our system. We want to make sure we want to do what we want to do first before we hand over our lives to Jesus. Jesus, don't wait for that. If you tarry until you're better, you're never going to come. Because the kingdom of God is going to come in its fullness at any time. And he's not going to give you any warning. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen today. And if you wait, chances are it's going to happen before you finally sit down and decide, well, now I'm finally ready to turn over my life to Jesus. So if you're waiting please, Jesus is calling out to you, do not wait. The kingdom is already here. You need to be prepared now. So when the flash of lightning comes, when Jesus comes back, you already have been ready. And for those of us who are already in the kingdom, well, this should be an encouragement to us. Just like Paul writes, so we plead with others, be reconciled with God. There might not be tomorrow. There might not be a next day. Don't wait. This is urgent business. We want the end times to look like a whole bunch of like culmination of history and a whole lot of things happen before Jesus comes back. Because if that's the case, then there's plenty of time to get ready. There's plenty of time to say, oh, well, this has happened and this happened. Well, this has to happen first. And we can put it off until we see those signs. But Jesus, you know, cuts through those wrong thinking. That's not what it looks like. There's not going to be any preparation time. We are in the end times right now. And the only event, the only major event in history that's left is Jesus' return. There's nothing else. Jesus is going to return, and you're not going to see it coming, but it's going to be totally obvious. So where are you with Jesus? Where are you in this teaching about the end times? Are you ready? Are you looking forward to it? Is that where your joy is? It's coming. Let's take Jesus' teaching to heart. I don't really like to talk about the end times, but Jesus talked about it. He's shown us what it's like. And it's a warning. It's a warning. Remember Lot's wife. Be prepared. Be ready. Don't look back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that a lot of times we want to look at the end times and see all the cool things that are going to happen and postulate about what it's going to look like. But Lord, the teachings that Jesus gave us are a lot more uncomfortable. Lord, you are coming again. This day-to-day life will not last forever. There is a judgment that's going to come. And Lord, in view of that final terrible judgment, we thank you that you have already provided a way out. You've already provided your son. You've opened up the kingdom for us. That those who run to Jesus be safe and not perish. Lord, I pray for all those in this room who have not entered into the kingdom yet, who have not made that decision for Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would convict hearts of the urgency. That now is the time to get ready. Now is the time to enter to the kingdom. And Lord, for all of us, give us that urgency. Show us the harvest that is ripe. Show us souls that are perishing. May we plead before others and before the Father on our hands and knees. Be reconciled with the Father. And Lord, in view of your coming again, oh Lord, we just want to arise and go to Jesus. And in spite of all of our sins, in spite of all of our wrongs, in spite of our failings, in spite of all the ways we know we've messed up, he will not turn us away. He will hold us in his arms. In the arms of our dear Savior, there are 10,000 charms. We thank you, Jesus. That's his name we pray. Amen.